Week one in the books in the National Football League. Here to help us break it all down is our football expert and third baseman extraordinaire, John Bender. Bender, how's it going today?
Hey, I'm doing great, thanks. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you very much. It is Tuesday. The slow pitch tournament we played in was on Saturday, and I'm still sore. This feels like a bad sign for me.
Yeah, that's rough, man. I don't know. I've been playing a lot of softball this summer, and everybody I play with kind of says the same thing. And it's one of those games that you don't realize the muscles you use and whatnot. Seems like you're not doing a whole lot till the next day, and you feel everything.
Yeah, every stretch I made at first base, I'm feeling each of them individually right now. So that's it's a great feeling. let's break down what we saw yesterday. Well, we'll start with Monday Night Football. The Houston Texans fall just short of New Orleans, but I think that was clearly the game of the weekend. I wanted to ask you about Laremy Tunsil, acquired from the Miami Dolphins to help shore up that Texans offensive line, which was obviously the main talking point for the Texans going into this season. What did you think of the Texans O-line in that first game against the Saints?
I mean, I thought that they kind of grew as an offensive line. I thought early in the game they were having problems picking up blitzes and whatnot, and that's probably, you know, to be expected with a left tackle that just got there 4 or 5 days ago. They're going to take some time to gel and mesh, and they're going to become a better unit, but they definitely became more athletic. They got one of the better left tackles in the league, and that's going to make a big difference to them as the season goes on. And I think hopefully he's going to be a guy that provides a lot of leadership in there as well. I mean, he's played at a high level. I know that he's never won a championship or done too much with playoff games and whatnot, but bringing in a top-end O-line will really shore up the group and get that offense to get the most out of themselves.
We hear often about offensive lines working as a unit, and you kind of need that chemistry to have a good offensive line. How much can one key player help affect and help change an offensive line?
It makes a huge difference, especially when you have, you know, a position like left tackle, for example. What they do with a lot of teams, you know, with the five offensive linemen, oftentimes they're, you know, using kind of zone concepts to pick up blitzes or to, you know, take other teams' best defensive ends or players out of the game. When you have a top-end left tackle, you can just kind of put him out there on an island against a team's one of their better defensive ends, and you know that he can take care of things. And that means that the other O-lineman can worry about the rest of it. So it makes a big difference if you have a really good left tackle that can pass block. You don't have to chip with him with the running backs or tight ends. You can just leave him alone on an island. It makes a big difference to the rest of your pass game and the things and the concepts that you can run.
The Texans come up just short in that game, but was really impressed with what I saw. The Titans put on a bit of a show as well this week. Who do you think is the top team in that division right now?
No, that's a good question. I think a lot of us, you know, saw some things that we weren't really sure what was going to happen here. You know, I did really like that Titans game. I really like what they're doing on the ground there with Derrick Henry, what they can do on offense with Marcus Mariota. I think that they got a good team there. I think that there's some other teams in the division that are going to have some more games here. We're going to have to know more, but I don't know. It'll be tough to look at week one and try to make a decision on who's going to come out the champ.
You mentioned when we saw a couple things that maybe we don't know how for real it is. How real do you think the Baltimore Ravens are? That was, I know it's a bad team. That was one heck of a showing, though, from Lamar Jackson.
Absolutely. I think that's what he's been able to do. I mean, through college, through, you know, in the pros now, you know, he's a quarterback that can really put defenses in binds with what he can do with his legs. And as a result, he gets a lot of mismatches in the pass game and gets a lot of one-on-one coverages. So, you know, and then he can still throw the ball really well. So you saw him really throw for 4 or 5 touchdowns this week. I mean, when he was in college, I mean, he'd play teams and throw 3 or 4 touchdowns and run for 2 or 3 touchdowns as well. I don't know if he'll be doing that and quite, you know, have those big stats in the NFL, but I mean, he's been a guy that's been able to, you know, really put defenses in bind, like I said, where they have to account for him in the run game. I mean, if you look at the running backs that he's been around, they put up some big numbers as well. Because, you know, when they do a typical zone play, they always make it look like it's a read option or a run-pass option. And as a result, everybody kind of is back on their heels. And they can't, you know, run downhill at these running backs. The safeties are looking to what he's going to be able to do. The defensive ends are, you know, sitting there waiting, trying to make sure that, you know, he doesn't take off around the corner on them. So, I mean, it's really challenging for defenses to prepare for him, to prepare for a quarterback like that. And, I mean, I've seen that my whole career with playing with Colin Kaepernick, who had the same offensive coordinator at Nevada that he had at Louisville. And now he's got the same offensive coordinator that Colin had with Greg Roman there, you know, for them in the Ravens. So, I mean, it's a very similar player and a very similar player. They can do a lot of similar things.
What about the Dallas Cowboys? Dak Prescott puts on a bit of a show. He's looking for a new contract. Ezekiel Elliott has found his new contract. That was, again, against a bad team, but an impressive performance. How much are you buying the Dallas Cowboys?
Dallas Cowboys have a great team. I mean, they're solid top to bottom. They got an elite wide receiver. They got a good running back. They got a great offensive line. We'll have to see how much Dak Prescott can carry them and if he can become an elite quarterback. I know everybody wants to have a quarterback that's the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady's of the world, but, I mean, there's only so many guys like that, and there's going to be a lot of other quarterbacks that are going to be in the mold of a Dak Prescott that can, you know, run the ball, you know, can pass the ball when needed to, but how efficient can they be? And can they turn into game managers when they need to be? And, I mean, you know, how far can they get in the playoffs with that? Now, I think that they're going to be a team that, you know, they're going to have a great defense here as well to carry them through, but I mean, you know, I think that they're just as much a contender as anybody else at this point.
One team that had all the hype going into this season, as we chat with John Bender here in the 9 on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, the Cleveland Browns. That was a very Brownsy performance from a team that we weren't expecting to be very Brownsy. How concerned are you about the Cleveland Browns?
I don't think I'd be concerned. It's just one game, but I mean, I think that there's some things that we saw in the preseason and saw with transaction trends and whatnot that is a little bit alarming. When you're able to cut your left tackle the week before the game and pick him up a couple of days later and no other team tries to pick him up, I think that's a little bit alarming. I mean, I think that Greg Robinson, he was a high-end pick by the Rams, and you know, he's still 26, 27 years old, picked second overall, and he's on his third team already. Now, I know that the Browns had Joe Thomas there forever and really shored up the left tackle position better than probably any team, but you know, they're going to have to maybe find a better left tackle, hope Greg Robinson finally does grow into the player that everybody thinks he can become. And I think that's going to make a big difference. You know, they traded their right guard there to go get some more pass rush. So the offensive line isn't as good as it was in previous years in Cleveland, and I think that they're going to have to make some changes there. Or, you know, hopefully the guys grow and become better players and better athletes as well. I mean, it'll be interesting. I think there's a lot of, you know, that defense can really grow as well. They got some great players that are young with Myles Garrett and, you know, some of the linebackers, corners and whatnot that are all first-round picks and high-end draft picks that they're looking to grow into bigger roles. And I think that we're going to see how that plays out throughout the year. I mean, they won 7 games last year. If they could get to, you know, 9, 10, 11 wins, I think that'd be a great season for the Browns. But, I mean, they're going to have to play a lot better than they did last year or last week.
This is another one kind of on the same note of the Texans, but you have the Ravens who look great. A lot of people thought the Browns were going to be great. No one really knew what to expect with the Steelers. If you just look at week one, there's a pretty clear answer, but who do you think's the best team in the AFC North?
You know, if I had to bet right now, I'd probably take the Ravens to be the team that was going to win at the end with the Browns right there. The Steelers, I mean, the Steelers have done it so well for so long, but they didn't do anything in week one that really stood out to me that said, hey, this team's going to be great. I mean, hopefully they can get it rolling there. I mean, they still got some good pieces on offense, and hopefully Big Ben doesn't deteriorate, could still play at a high level. But, yeah, I mean, that'll be an interesting division. I mean, there's a lot of change going on there, a lot of teams that have, everybody will be watching that and seeing what happens there.
And last NFL one for me, the Jacksonville Jaguars. There was a lot of talk that, hey, anyone not named Blake Bortles and we'll get rocking and rolling a quarterback and that'll be fine. They're going to be testing that here over the next little bit. What do you make of the Jacksonville Jaguars after week one?
I mean, I think that they're going to be in trouble here after losing Nick Foles. I thought he was a guy that could come in and, kind of smooth things out there for the offense. I think that their defense is typically pretty good unless that defense gets tired because the offense isn't on the field very much. And I think we're going to see that tested a lot here over the next few weeks. I don't know if Foles is going to be able to come back. Sounds like he had surgery yesterday. That's typically 6 to 8 weeks or more. See if they can rely on the run game with Leonard Fournette, keep that defense off the field, keep them fresh, and see what they can do. But I think the Jaguars, I don't know if they're this is a season for them that's going to be a great season unless they can, you know, find an opportunity to go bring in a quarterback. But, I mean, I don't think any teams are, you know, if there was a time to bring in a quarterback, I guess it's early in the season so you can, you know, get some growth and see what happens. But, you know, I think that they're in a tough spot right now.
You going to go pick up Gardner Minshew after what can only be described as an embarrassing first week loss in fantasy football?
Yeah, probably not. we'll have to see how it plays out here. I had a tough first week in fantasy in the Fan 960 League. Both of my running backs got hurt in the first quarter. So ideally that doesn't happen next week, and we'll see what happens.
Both my running backs were just bad, so I don't really have that excuse. I mentioned to you that I want to ask you one CFL question. Who's the best team in this league right now? It feels like it's down to three with Winnipeg, Calgary, and Hamilton. I can't really pick what would separate one from the other. Where are you at with the top team in the Canadian Football League?
I think you got to lean towards Calgary. I mean, I know that's the homer answer, but you know, you look at what the other teams have lost. I mean, you know, from Hamilton losing Jeremiah Masoli, I know the backup quarterbacks have come in there and done a great job. But you look at Winnipeg, I mean, they've lost some talent there as well. You know, they don't have their starting quarterback. And the Calgary Stampeders, you know, despite only having Bo Levi Mitchell for 4 of 11 games this year, are right in the thick of it. And now they have, you know, probably the best quarterback in the CFL. You know, they're starting to roll on offense. They're getting some more guys involved. Some rookies are stepping up, making big plays. And that defense is growing together as well. And the Stampeders have a few guys that they're expecting back here as far as wide receivers, or maybe some guys that can maybe be a little bit more healthy. And, you know, and who knows, maybe, you know, there's some more pickups here along the way. I know that the CFL is interesting that way, that the NFL cuts, and so there's some guys that show up late. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But, I mean, I'd lean on the Calgary Stampeders as being my favorite to, you know, get back to the Grey Cup here.
Last one for you. What happened to Nevada this week? I get, like, at Oregon, but 77-6. Where's the Nevada-tude?
That's ugly, man. I wanted to, you know, fly down to Reno and talk to those guys on Sunday. But, you know, I mean, it's challenging when you – I've played in a lot of those games, you know, they call them, you know, whatever you want to call them. I mean, we played at Notre Dame, you know, to start the season, University of Nevada and the smaller schools get $1 million or so to go to these schools and play them and give them a game in front of their home fans. But you're walking into that Lions Den, right? They played in Oregon in front of 65,000. That's a challenge in and of itself. And then now you got to deal with the Oregon offense that's, you know, running a fast-paced offense, you know. But when I was in Nevada, coaches were really good at making sure we were always kind of mad and ticked off all the time. I remember when we got off the bus at Notre Dame, they gave us all a piece of paper that said, remember, this is a cupcake game with a picture of a cupcake on it. Yeah. And, you know, the University of Notre Dame was supposed to, you know, beat us handily. And, I mean, they did, but it's unfortunate that, you know, 77-6 is challenging. It looks like, you know, there were some guys that maybe gave it up in the second half, and hopefully they can pick it up from here moving forward.
All right, well, I'm sure Weber State is shaking in their boots with Nevada coming or heading out to Reno this week, so potentially a bounce back game. Weber State, sorry.
Yeah, that's the Dimitri Supas, Bruce Covington school.
Oh, yeah. How could I have got that one wrong?
You can't forget that, man.
Yeah, my apologies.
Also, Damian Lillard.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't associate them. I didn't even know they had a football team. So there we go. We're learning something today. Bender, always fun, man. Thanks for doing this today. I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon.
All right, great. Thank you.
There you go. John Bender.